It's a diagnosis that no one wants to receive, but one an estimated 1.3 million people face every year. Breast cancer is the most prevalent cancer in the world, striking women and men of every age and race. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Arizona Spotlight brings you Voices for the Cure, an opportunity for some of the countless people whose lives and loved ones have been touched by breast cancer to share their stories of courage, love, and hope. The answer to one question told me a lot about the kind of relationship that Norma and Tim York have. When I asked them to tell me how Norma's breast cancer affected their marriage, they both said the same thing at the same time. It made it stronger. We'll hear their story next.
You were out of town in Yuma, right, when you had your mammogram and there was an abnormality with it?
Yes, I flew to Yuma because we had moved to Spokane, Washington. And I woke up that morning, everything was normal, and that was the day.
Well, I think when you told me over the phone that at that point it wasn't confirmed, right? It was just an abnormality in the mammogram. I think you and I both knew at that time that it was probably going to be cancer, right? I think you had that feeling in
your stomach. I did, because my mother died of cancer. My father died of cancer. My sister is a 13-year breast cancer survivor, and my mother's sister died of breast cancer last year. So in the pit of my stomach, I just knew, even though they try to reassure me that try not to worry about it, I just knew.
I remember sitting there in the doctor's office, and it was like time stood still for a little bit, and you kind of phased out, right? And so then I had to keep my wits about me so I could make sure that I was understanding exactly what the doctor was saying and what she was planning to do in the course of treatment, so I could replay that for you at home after the fact, and so we could.
Yeah, because I would get in the car, and I was sitting in the office just like you were, and then we'd get in the car, and I'm like, what did she say? So even though I was sitting there, I didn't hear a word. So having you with me, you were my second pair of ears, so you can go over everything. And that was almost with every doctor visit.
Right. I think once you heard cancer, I think everything probably just kind of went into a fuzzy blur after that, right?
It did, because I just first thought that went through my mind. We have three children, were my kids immediately, because it went from, in my mind, seeing what happened to my parents from cancer to, I don't know why I thought, death right away. And I just was very afraid.
Well, I think after a day or two or however long it took for that news to settle in and we kind of got our wits about us, I think that's when we began planning ahead for an aggressive treatment. As it turns out, 2.5 years later, those were the right decisions, right? In the right course of action by the doctors involved.
Yes, I agree.
From that point on, I mean, I was just along for the ride. Everything happened very quickly afterward. After that initial diagnosis, the doctors were very quick in their process on treating this. So first began the chemo, and of course, every step of the way we researched and kind of had an idea of what to expect, but you know, you can read it but not really understand it fully until you live it, right? The hair falling out and the sickness, right, and the pain and all that, that came with the chemotherapy, right, treatment, right?
The hair falling out was very, very hard for me because I had long, very nice hair and long eyelashes, and I didn't realize it was all going to fall out. And I just remember we had to tell our son before it happened. He was 11 at the time.
Yeah.
11, and so that was very important for me. I had to tell him before it did start falling out. So I went to a wig shop, ordered my wig. I remember I took him to school and to do a trial run to see how that wig was going to look, and it looked very natural, didn't it?
Yeah, you could hardly tell.
You could hardly tell, I thought anyway. And he looks over at me, he goes, "You've got your wig on, don't you?" I thought I was being sneaky. So he kind of knew, so we had to tell him. And first attempt at me trying to tell him, I came down the stairs and I looked at him. And I went right back up because I had to be strong in telling him, because our son was diagnosed with Tourette's at the age of 9. So any kind of extra stress makes it a little...
Exacerbates.
Yes.
Tourette's.
So I had to wait just for the right time so I wouldn't cry in front of him and be strong, and finally told him, and he took it like a man. It was like not a big deal to him. So it was okay. I don't think the doctors prepared me very, very well. They told me about chemo. But I remember, do you remember when I walked into the doorway, what happened?
In the chemo lab there?
They said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Yes, I'm ready." I walked in, I walked to the doorway and saw everybody sitting there hooked up with their chemo treatment.
You'd walk in and really see people of all walks of life, male, female, young, old. It was a very hard door to walk through was it every week or every 2 weeks?
Every other week.
Every other week. Oh,
I thought I was ready. I walked in and I walked right back out into the hallway. And the nurse and Tim were out there and called me down. And finally I was ready. And I'm like, let's start this. Let's get this over with. Because the sooner I get it over with, the sooner I'll be done.
So then the chemo, so just when you would start to feel better from the one chemotherapy, it was time to go back in again for round two, round three, round four. And once that was done, certainly weren't out of the woods, because then came the surgery, double mastectomy.
I had a double.
Which was followed on by several weeks for radiation treatment. So it was a very long, protracted treatment, right, for what, 6 or 8 months probably, all in total for the treatments?
9 months.
9 months?
Yeah, from the time it started. And it was a total of 8 surgeries. And I just thought, I just need to get well from this. I need to be back to me. And I couldn't wait. So once the doctor released me, I was back at the gym, working out, getting as strong as I could get. And I am back to golfing. I am back to lifting weights. I am playing racquetball. And I wondered how I was going to do all this, because the last surgery they did on me was they took my lat muscle, which is part of your back, and used it to reconstruct a breast. So I was wondering, being so active, how this is going to affect my active lifestyle. But it didn't seem like it affected it too much. No, it hasn't slowed me down. I'm fine. I'm back to being pretty close to me again. And so as far as from start to finish, it's been about 2.5 years.
Yeah. To me, you know, you've exhibited incredible fortitude and inner strength and determination to get over this, to not let it be who defines you, but rather a chapter in your life that is now behind you.
I did. When I told my friends about breast cancer, I was, made sure they were getting their mammograms. And, you know, some said, I got mine last year. I said, don't ever miss a year. Make sure you get it every single year, because if I would have missed 1 year, I might not be sitting here talking about this.
Then you, of anyone who was so fit, so healthy, never smoked, never drank, ate only healthy foods, exercised every day, lived and breathed fitness, if it could happen to you, I think your friends saw that it could happen to them, certainly, or anyone else. So I think you may have saved a life, potentially, by getting your friends who weren't thinking about that, thinking about it, and getting in for their exams and making sure that they were on top of that.
Right. I think they are now, so.
Yeah, definitely.
That was fitness competitor, mother of three, and cancer survivor, Norma York, talking with her husband, Tim. You can listen to many other stories on the Voices for the Cure page at azpm.org. Voices for the Cure is produced in association with Susan G. Komen for the Cure, Southern Arizona. More information is available online at comansaz.org.